What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. On today's bonus episode, I've compiled a couple of my GOAT lists from previous episodes from last year. So today we are going to have the top 10 greatest baseball players of all time and the top 10 greatest NFL coaches of all time. So take a listen, see if you agree, if you disagree. Either way, it doesn't matter because they're my motherfucking list, people. So enjoy. The top 10 greatest baseball players of all time, and I'm just going to call it the top 10 MLB GOATs for short. These are the 10 greatest players who I feel like of all time to ever play baseball. Now, the parameters on this one are pretty similar to the last two. Now, of course, I've mentioned many, many, many times on this show, nothing matters to me more than championships. Nothing. It's a stat that matters to me because that means you're the best. Even if it's one, if you don't have any, that doesn't mean you can't be great, but it's hard to put you above certain people. Now, in baseball, it's kind of different because there are, I think, two or three guys on my list who don't have championships. But the thing about baseball is, to be a GOAT, it's not just championships. It's a number. Baseball has always been a number sport. So your dominance is kind of what I'm going off of. Now, of course, championships really, they do play a role in how some of these guys are ranked. But really, it's their impact at the time they played. I mean, some of these guys, they were the dude who you wanted to be or who you wanted to beat or just who you wanted on your team. Or they just changed the game in some way, shape, or form. Just their straight up domination, maybe as a hitter, as a home run hitter, just all around numbers, how many MVPs they have. And like I said, championships do matter to me. All of these guys are Hall of Famers, by the way. I did find it amusing that there really is only on my list technically one real starting pitcher. I have two, but one played pitcher and hitter, and he didn't end his career. He's not known as a pitcher, really. There's one real solid starting pitcher on here. The rest are all hitters. That's pretty much what they're known for. I mean, that is what this game's really about. But I mean, I found it interesting that once I started to whittle it down, I was like, wow, that's very odd. Now, it's also very odd because, I mean, like I said, baseball is a numbers sport. And the reason why is because some of these records still stand today. And when I got to number one, like, it made me laugh so hard because you can't even argue number one, in my opinion, when you just, like, compare his stats to everything and you look at him and you go, he still owns this stat? Like, it's nuts. And you say that with a lot of these guys, just because some of them, like I said, they're really old. I mean, I do have a lot of, none of these players are current players, by the way. Also, none of them were accused of steroids or cheating or any of that. Now, I've said many, many times when it comes to baseball and steroids, I don't condone that they did it. I don't support that they did it. I think it sucks for the players who didn't do it and had to play with them, and maybe some of their careers suffered because of it, for whatever reason, because they could have lost a spot on the team because a Reuter, quote, did better than them, or they didn't get the good contracts because the Reuters did and they decided not to do it. But I didn't include any of them on there just because they did technically cheat. That is cheating. But like I said, I don't hold it against them because the steroid era, unfortunately, everybody encouraged it from top to bottom. And it's not their fault that that was the times. And it just, to me, that's my outlook on it. I totally get people who call them cheaters. I'm never going to argue with anybody if they don't. I think it's stupid to say I don't think Barry Bonds is the all-time home run leader, even though he is. It's the stat. But if you don't like him and you don't like to count his stats, I get it because he did cheat the game. But he is technically the home run leader, and to say it didn't happen, you sound like an idiot who stormed the Capitol, in my opinion, but I digress. Anyway, so no steroid era players are in here. Well, there are guys who played in the steroid era, but they never actually even, they never tested positive. There wasn't even really accusations about these guys. So they technically were clean. So like I said, none of them made my top 10, even though because when I do these type of lists, I like to see what other people rank others as. And I did see some people put Barry Bonds in their GOATs and everything. I even considered Roger Clemens because I do personally, I think Roger Clemens is, him and Nolan Ryan are the two greatest pitchers in my opinion. At least from what I've watched. I obviously haven't seen any of the old-timey pitchers, and a lot of them were spectacular as well. Also, Negro League players, too. There were a lot of amazing pitchers who didn't even get the opportunity to play in the pros that a lot of us don't know about. But in my lifetime and of watching pitchers and just kind of their complete domination, to me, Nolan Ryan and Roger Clemens were two of the greatest of all time. And by the way, neither one of them are on my list. Like I said, Roger Clemens is not because he more than likely did steroids. There's not like a positive test or anything. But if you remember and you can look it up, he was involved in this dumb, stupid shit against Congress and all that. And basically, he did steroids. And then I didn't include Nolan Ryan because while I think he's an extremely dominating pitcher, I don't think he was as dominating as the one pitcher on here. Plus, his championships, it to me, held him back just a little bit. He definitely would be in my top 15, but I was kind of surprised I didn't even include him just because I just think the stats of some of these other players are much more greater than his. But that's, so that's kind of the parameters that we're working with here on my top 10 MLB GOATs. So let's begin with number 10. And that would be Ken Griffey Jr. He played from 1989 to 2010, center fielder who played with the Seattle Mariners, the Cincinnati Reds, and the White Sox. Now, he had no championships. And so that, to me, is one of the few, that's like his only accomplishment he has never had. But the thing about Ken Griffey Jr. is he is one of the greatest hitters ever. If you watch, to me, Ken Griffey is, he had like the same impact Jordan had on NBA, and they both played around the same times too. Griffey was just a cool dude who you wanted to be, and when you watch this guy hit a home run, it's the most beautiful thing ever. I think Ken Griffey Jr. probably has the most beautiful swing of all time. Just, I would love to just sit and watch Ken Griffey Jr. do batting practice. And I'm not the only one. As a matter of fact, I believe he was at the World Baseball Classic just talking to all the Team USA guys. And he took batting practice with them. And they were like little kids watching Ken Griffey Jr. just take swings. And the dude still can rake. It's still a beautiful thing to watch Ken Griffey Jr. hit a ball. And it's also, it's not his fault he didn't win a championship. I mean, first of all, he was drafted by the Seattle Mariners. And yes, they actually did have some good seasons with him. They actually almost made a World Series. But it's just, unfortunately for Ken Griffey Jr., he was pretty much the main player on their team. And the thing with baseball and championships, baseball is the most difficult sport to win a championship in. Not only just one, but to repeat and win multiple championships. That's actually truth. That it's more difficult to repeat as a champion in baseball than it is in any other sport. So that's one of the reasons, another reason why I included guys who don't have championships on my top 10 here, because I would have never considered that in my NBA. I'm not considering it in my NFL one whenever I get to that one. But in baseball, I did. Just because in baseball, it's not your fault sometimes. Sometimes you're on a really fucking shitty team. I mean, do we hold it against Mike Trout that he's been playing for the Angels? Nah, he's still been one of the best players, five-tool all-around player, which Griffey was too, because that's who we're talking about, of course. But I'm just pointing out that Mike Trout's played for a shitty team, and we all know he's been one of the best players in the league since the day he hit the major leagues. But anyways, with Ken Griffey Jr., he has no championships. I don't even think he played in a World Series, right? Yeah, I don't even think he did. He's a 13-time All-Star. He did win the AL MVP award in 1997. He's a 10-time Gold Glove Award winner. And that's a big deal to me. That's another reason why he's on here, because not only was he spectacular with the bat, but the dude was great on defense. You don't win 10 Gold Gloves for nothing, and he did. He was fantastic on the defensive side of the ball. He was also a 7-time Silver Slugger Award winner. He was the NL Comeback Player of the Year in 2005. He was a 4-time AL home run leader in 1994, 97, 98, and 99. He was the AL RBI leader in 1997. His career stat, he's also a member of the Major League Baseball All-Century team. His career stats are a batting average of .284. He's got 2,781 hits, 630 home runs, and 1,836 RBI. So it's just the impact at the time. And, you know, Ken Griffey, who has anything bad to say about Ken Griffey Jr.? I mean, really, I honestly have yet to meet a person who hates Ken Griffey Jr. And that says a lot, because I feel like every athlete, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people who hate him, but I personally have yet to meet a person and go, I hated watching Ken Griffey Jr. I'm like, really? But I don't think any baseball fan really hated him, just because, like I said, watching him hit a ball is just beautiful. And he was such a fantastic player to watch. And I just really enjoyed him. And I felt like he had to be in my top 10. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB GOATs, this is my only starting pitcher. I have Greg Maddux. He played from 1986 to 2008. He played with the Chicago Cubs, the Atlanta Braves, the Los Angeles Dodgers, and the San Diego Padres. He is a 1-time champion in 1995. To me, Greg Maddux, I know it's not sexy, because I would have thought I would have put Nolan Ryan in here, but really, Greg Maddux's domination, especially at the time he played, is something else. First of all, he played in the steroid era, and he dominated those guys, even though they were on steroids. So that's one starting point. Also, there was a lot of good pitchers. You know, you had Randy Johnson playing in this era. You had Roger Clemens, even though he was a Roider, you still had him. You had Andy Pettit. It's just there were a lot of good players in this era, but I mean, when you're the type of player, he's just so known for no hitters. It's called pitching a Maddux. If you like Sandy Alcantara, who threw a no hitter the other night, he pitched a Maddux, because pitching a Maddux means you threw a no hitter in less than 100 pitches. That's called pitching a Maddux. If you have something like that named after you, that means you're a spectacular pitcher. And then also, just when you look at his career stats and just his complete and utter domination from start to finish, even when he ended his career, it wasn't dominating, but it wasn't bad either. So here are some of his other stats. He's an 8-time All-Star, 4-time Cy Young winner, 4-time NL Cy Young winner. He won 4 straight, by the way, 4 straight Cy Youngs. He is an 18-time Gold Glove Award winner, and that is why he made my top 10. Pitchers winning the Gold Glove is a big fucking deal. When you win it 18 times, that means you're the fucking best at what you do. No pitcher has come close to winning 18 Gold Gloves. This dude has won 18 Gold Gloves. His defense is so fucking on point. I mean, really, Maddux is kind of a boring pitcher. Compared to a lot of other pitchers in the league, he's kind of boring. But that's why he was so goddamn good, because he knew all you had to do was be great at defense. All you had to do was just pitch the shit out of these dudes and boom, 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 you're done. Maddux was just spectacular. And to be an 18-time Gold Glove Award winner, that is why I put him above Nolan Ryan. That. Because, whoa. He was also a 3-time NL wins leader, 4-time MLB ERA leader. He's also the only pitcher in MLB history to win at least 15 games for 17 straight seasons. As I said, he owns the most Gold Gloves by any player, not just pitcher, by any player ever. He has the most putouts by a pitcher with 546 and tied a live ball era record of 39 putouts in a season in 1990, 91, and 93. He won more games than any pitcher in the 90s. He's eighth all-time on the career wins list. And, I mean, he really just... he's just one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Some of his career stats, his win-loss record is 355, 355 wins, 227 losses. His career ERA is 316, and he's got 3,371 strikeouts. So he is one of only 10 pitchers ever to achieve both 300 wins and 3,000 strikeouts. And he's the only pitcher to record more than 300 wins and more than 3,000 strikeouts and fewer than 1,000 walks. He actually has 999 walks overall. So Greg Maddux, I don't think a lot of people would think of him right off the bat as a GOAT. But when you just look at this dude's domination, yeah, he's a GOAT. And that, in my opinion, makes him the greatest pitcher of all time. All right, so at number 8 on my top 10 MLB GOATs, I have Stan Musial. He played from 1941 to 1944, then had to go to war in 1945, so he did not play that season, and then he came back in 1946 and played till 1963. He was an outfielder and a first baseman. He played his entire career with the St. Louis Cardinals. He is also a three-time champion. He won championships in 1942, 1944, and 1946. Stan Musial is one of the greatest hitters, hands down, of all time. He was just—that's what he was known for. Stan the Man. They love him in St. Louis, and he to be a three-time champion. Also at that time, I mean, the Yankees were such a dominating team in those days to get that many championships and be that dominating. He just totally was. And just not only did he do spectacular behind the plate, but he was also great defensively as well. Some of his other stats, he's a 24-time All-Star, three-time NL MVP award winner. He won the MVP in 43, 46, and 48. He's a seven-time NL batting champion, two-time NL RBI leader. And he's a part of the Major League Baseball All-Century team. His career stats, batting average 331, 3,630 hits, 475 home runs, and 1,951 runs batted in. And Stan Musial, yeah, just one of the greatest to ever touch a bat, ever. Just his domination at the plate, just go look at some of the stats, because here's the thing with all of these guys that I'm naming off, I'm not even naming off all of their stats. I'm just kind of doing a generalization. There are some of these dudes where I'm like, I don't got the time for this shit to add every single fucking stat of theirs. So, yeah, go look up Stan the Man. Dude was a killer in his era. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB GOATs, I have Ted Williams. He played from 1939 to 1942. Then he also had to go to war, and then he came back in 1946, played till 1960. He primarily played left field. He played his entire career with the Boston Red Sox. He never won a championship, but this guy's domination at the plate with a bat can never, ever, ever be overlooked. This guy... it's nuts what he did at the plate. So he's a 19-time All-Star. He's a two-time AL MVP. He won the MVP in 46 and 49. He is a two-time Triple Crown winner in 1942 and 1947. That means he led the league in home runs, RBI, and batting average. He did that twice. That doing it once is insane. Doing it twice is like, what the fuck? He's a six-time AL batting champion, four-time AL home run leader, four-time AL RBI leader. He has an MLB record 482 career on-base percentage. And he's the last batter ever. And he last played in 1960 to bat 400 for a season. That is nuts. He's also a part of the Major League Baseball All-Century team and the Major League Baseball All-Time team, because as a hitter, this guy was great. As I said, the reason why he doesn't have championships is because, unfortunately, these Red Sox teams he played for weren't that good. And so you have a tough time winning championships if you don't really get there. So then also the couple of years, I mean, he took multiple years off in between to go fight in war. So who knows what his career would have ended up if he didn't have to take those few years off. And then his career stats, batting average 344, 2,654 hits, 521 home runs, 1,839 runs batted in. And then, as I said, a 482 on-base percentage, which is a record still to this day. So, yeah, Ted Williams, damn good hitter. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB GOATs, Mickey Mantle, played from 1951 to 1968, center fielder, and played his entire career with the New York Yankees. He is a seven-time champion. He won championships in 51, 52, 53, 56, 58, 61, and 62. Yeah, Mickey Mantle, he's just known as one of the greatest hitters of all time. He was probably obviously Babe Ruth was the first, like, real home run hitter. But Mickey Mantle, man, he was that dude when you read about him. He's a 20-time All-Star, 3-time AL MVP. He won the MVP in 56, 57, and 62. He is a Triple Crown winner in 1956. He's a Gold Glove Award winner, AL batting champion, 4-time AL home run leader, AL RBI leader, and he's also a part of the Major League Baseball All-Century team. His career stats, batting average of .298, 2,415 hits, 536 home runs, and 1,509 RBI. He was just this Yankees team. It's crazy when you look at the Yankees, their history, because you think they all dominate at the same time, and they really don't, because now I'm going to talk about another Yankee after this guy who dominated in the 30s. But Mantle dominated in the 50s and the 60s, and it's just like, it's like, whoa. It's crazy how many generational players they get. And I know everybody likes to think it's, oh, they buy everybody. And yeah, in certain instances, they do buy. They spend a lot of money. But you know what? They haven't won a championship in, since, what, 2009? So it's been quite some time since the Yankees have won. They don't always win. But Mickey Mantle was generational. And it's crazy how many generational, amazing players the Yankees have ended up with. And Mickey Mantle was one of them. And now when we get to number five, here's another one. Number five on my top 10 MLB GOATs, Lou Gehrig, played from 1923 to 1939. He was first baseman for the New York Yankees, also played his entire career as a New York Yankee. He's a 6-time champion. He won in 1927, 28, 32, 36, 37, and 38. So he also dominated the 20s and the 30s. Probably could have dominated a lot more because, unfortunately, you should be aware of of ALS, which is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. Unfortunately, his career was cut short at a really, really early age. I believe 32, 33. It was early 30s. So he had plenty of more baseball in him. This dude could have even more championships and more records. But unfortunately, he got ALS and he died like a year later after he was diagnosed with it too. But Lou Gehrig, man, when you watch this guy hit a ball, you know, I was talking about Ken Griffey Jr. hitting a ball. Lou Gehrig, that's what that dude was born to do. Oh my God, watching him hit home runs, it's something else as well. That's another guy I would have loved to watch batting practice of. Just see him hit a home run is just probably gives you goosebumps. He was a 7-time All-Star, 2-time AL MVP in 1927 and 1936. He won a Triple Crown in 1934, AL batting champion, 3-time AL home run leader, 5-time AL RBI leader. He hit 4 home runs in one game on June 3rd, 1932. He's also a member of the Major League Baseball All-Century team and the Major League Baseball All-Time team. Some of his career stats, batting average of 340, 2,721 hits, 493 home runs, and 1,995 RBI. It's kind of crazy just to think of what Lou Gehrig's career could have been. And some of those numbers, I mean, you look at them and you look at the home runs especially, he probably – If he played till he was like 40, man, that guy would probably have he probably would have been the number you were trying to beat for the home run leaders at one point. But he was something else, and he was just meant to play baseball. Obviously, that's what that's all he did while he was here. Because he lived such a short life, and there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. He just looked fantastic doing it. He was a great Yankee and a great player and one of the greatest of all time, who we still recognize. And he played in the 20s and 30s, for Christ's sake. So that's what I mean about these baseball players. They made such an impact, and their numbers and what they did for the game still matters from dudes who played in the 20s and 30s. And now when we get to number four, a dude who played even earlier than these guys, he was going on my list. He doesn't have any championships, but I don't give a fuck. This guy better be on your list. If you are a true, real deal baseball fan, this motherfucker better be on your list somewhere. I don't care where. You can rank him wherever you want, but he's at number four on my top 10 MLB GOATs, and that is Ty Cobb. Played from 1905 to 1928, center fielder, played for the Detroit Tigers and the Philadelphia A's. He has no championships, and that does not matter to me because this dude was a GOAT. This is the first, like, baseball player. I mean, he was meant to do it all. And you all know, dirty ass motherfucker, he would come right at you, spikes out. But that's not all he was about, though. He just was a fantastic baseball player. He was meant to hit the ball. He played great defensively. He just was such a great baseball player. You can't not have Ty Cobb on here. And by the way, it once again, not his fault he doesn't have any championships, because he played his heart out in every single game this dude played. He was the AL MVP in 1911, Triple Crown winner in 1909, 12-time AL batting champion, AL home run leader, 4-time AL RBI leader, 6-time AL stolen base leader, Major League Baseball All-Century Team. He also has an MLB record, .366 career batting average. MLB record. He played in 1905 to 1928, people. That record still stands to this day. That's what I mean about baseball. This guy played in 1905. Like, okay? And he still owns records to this day. And he just, baseball fans know, Ty Cobb was the shit. His career stats, like I just said, career batting average, .366, 4,189 hits, 117 home runs, 1,944 RBI, and 897 stolen bases, because that's what that dude did a lot of. When he would come spikes out, it was when he was stealing a base lots of times. He would steal home like crazy. Stealing home, it's probably one of the most fun baseball plays to watch, just because it's so rare to happen. But with Ty Cobb, wasn't that rare. Watch out for the spikes, though. But Ty Cobb, oh, fantastic baseball player. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB GOATs, Hank Aaron. Played from 1954 to 1976. Right fielder, played with the Milwaukee/Atlanta Braves, and then also played with the Milwaukee Brewers. He won a championship once, but Hank Aaron is known as the home run king. If you don't consider Barry Bonds to be the home run king, this is who you think the home run king is, because that's whose record he broke. Hank Aaron, that's what he was known for. This dude hit home runs like no other. If you were watching baseball in this era, you wanted to watch Hank Aaron at bat. Every single at bat, you wanted to see Hank Aaron, because you knew chances are that shit was going out of the park. He is a 25-time All-Star, which is a record. He is an NL MVP in 1957, 3-time Gold Glove Award winner. So he also, yes, we know him for hitting home runs, the original home run king. In my opinion, I feel like he is the home run king. I mean, I consider Barry Bonds to be the record holder, but Hank Aaron is the home run king, just because that's what he was. But he was also known for his defense as well. When you win Gold Glove Awards, you're great at defense. He's also a 2-time NL batting champion, 4-time NL home run leader, 4-time NL RBI leader, and he's Major League Baseball, all part of a Major League Baseball All Century team. A couple of the MLB records he still owns to this day. 2,297 career RBI, 6,856 career total bases, and 1,477 career extra base hits. These records still stand today, and he last played in 1976. So his career stats, batting average of .305, hits 3,771, 755 home runs, which was a all-time record up until, 2008? No, I think it was earlier than that, 2005. It was in the 2000s, but when Barry Bonds broke it. But 755 home runs, that was nuts. And then he had 2,297 career RBI. Just Hank Aaron was that dude. He was the home run king. He will forever be the home run king because that's just what he did, man. And he was just a fantastic baseball player to watch and definitely one of the greatest of all time. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB GOATs, Willie Mays. He played for the Negro League in 1948. Then he hit the major leagues in 1951 to 1952. Then he had to go to war. Then came back in 1954, played till 1973. Primarily played center fielder, known as probably the greatest center fielder of all time, by the way. He played for the Birmingham Black Barons when he played for the Negro League. And then he played for the New York / San Francisco Giants and then ended his career as a New York Met. He won one championship in 1954. But this dude was mostly known for his defense. Yes, he was fantastic with the bat. But if you look at career highlights of Willie Mays, it was all about the defense. This guy, he made one of the most known catches of all time. It's him running backwards with his freaking glove out and just makes this beautiful behind the head catch, which he's not even looking at the freaking ball, but makes the catch. Just Willie Mays, great, great player. 24-time All-Star, 2-time NL MVP in 1954, 1965, NL Rookie of the Year in 1951, 12-time Gold Glove Award winner from 1957 to 1968. Yeah, he won all 12 of them straight. He's a Roberto Clemente Award winner in 1971, NL batting champion, 4-time NL home run leader, 4-time NL stolen base leader. He hit 4 home runs in one game on April 30th in 1961. He's a part of the Major League Baseball All-Century team and the Major League Baseball All-Time team. So as you hear in there, his defense was amazing, but also, too, he was spectacular behind the plate. And he was a home run leader. He was a stolen base leader. He was the ultimate five-tool player. When you talk about a five-tool player, that means you are great at everything. That means you are great in the field. That means you're great at the plate. That means you get the stolen bases. You just do every single thing that the game asks you to do, and you're great at all of it. And that's what was great about Willie Mays. His career stats, 302 batting average, 3,283 hits, 660 home runs, 660 home runs. That's Jesus Christ, that's a lot of home runs. And the dude was known for his defense. 1,903 RBI and 338 stolen bases. All right, guys. Number one is inarguable. In-fucking-arguable. Number one on my top 10 MLB GOATs is Babe Ruth. And the reason why it's inarguable is the dude's records that he owns, he gets one whole Wikipedia page for that. You know how you you can look up a Wikipedia page for Babe Ruth, go to it, yada yada, kind of skim through it. And then I see a link that says, here's a link to Babe Ruth records. And he gets his own page for every record he owns. I mean, he owns so many records, I couldn't even get them all on here. And he played from 1914 to 1935. The dude hasn't played a baseball game since 1935, and he owns so many records in baseball, it's insane. You can't not put Babe Ruth at number one. He played outfielder, and he was also a pitcher. He's one of the few players to ever do that, by the way. I mean, we currently have Shohei Ohtani doing it, and in my opinion, I think Shohei Ohtani's better at doing both of them over Babe Ruth, but he is not Babe Ruth, people, okay? Babe Ruth played for the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, and the Boston Braves. He is a 7-time champion. He won championships in 1915, 1916, 1918, 1923, 1927, 1928, and 1932. He was the AL MVP in 1923, AL batting champion, 12-time AL home run leader, 5-time AL RBI leader, AL ERA leader. He is part of the Major League Baseball All-Century team, Major League Baseball All-Time team. And, yeah, here's some more stats on Babe Ruth. First batter to hit 30 home runs in one season during the 1920 season. First batter to hit 40 home runs in one season during the 1920 season. First batter to hit 50 home runs in a season, 54 in 1920. First batter to hit 60 home runs in a season, 60 in 1927. First batter to hit 500 home runs in a career, August 11th, 1929. First on all-time slugging percentage with .690. First on all-time OPS with 1.164. First on all-time OPS plus with 206. Second on all-time on on-base percentage list with 474. Second on all-time at-bats per home runs list with 11.6. Third on all-time RBI list with 2,213. Third on all-time list home run list with 714. Third on all-time bases on balls list with 2,062. Fourth on all-time runs list with 2,174. Tied with Hank Aaron. Seventh on all-time total bases list with 5,793. Ninth on all-time batting average list with .342, tied with the Dan Brothers. And that's just what I decided to put there. He owns more records than that. And it's nuts. It is just nuts, the dude's impact on this game. First of all, when I discussed the home run leader, you know, I was talking about Hank Aaron, who had 755. Well, he had to break Babe Ruth's record of 714 to get there. And he... That was in 1935, and then Hank Aaron did it in, what, the 70s? Yeah. So, Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player of all time. Still, to this day. Dude has a fucking candy bar named after him. By the way, I love Baby Ruths. Fucking love Baby Ruths. I don't think they're a popular type of candy bar for most people, but I personally love me a Baby Ruth. His career stats, batting average .342. 2,873 hits, 714 home runs, 2,214 RBIs, and as a pitcher, his win-loss record, 94 wins, 46 losses, with a career ERA of 2.28. Really, if you have never looked up what Babe Ruth has done for the game, do it. Seriously, if you're a real baseball fan, and you're into this shit like I am, it was very eye-opening. I mean, I've always known his impact on the game. I mean, he's Babe fucking Ruth, for Christ's sake. You don't just talk about this dude because he was a nobody. No, you talk about him because he's a goat. He is the goat. He started this gangsta shit, and this is the motherfucking thanks he gets. Number one on my list, hands down. It wasn't even a question. And I believe he's number one on pretty much everybody's list, too. But this guy... He did it all, and he was fantastic and phenomenal. It doesn't matter what era you play in, by the way. A lot of people like to hold it against him. He played against plumbers and firefighters, and they weren't the way they are today. Go fuck yourself. Babe Ruth's domination was something else. All of these guys' domination was something else. That's why they made this list. And, I mean, everybody's list could be a little bit different, and they'll put guys differently, but I'm going to be straight up with you. If you don't have Babe Ruth number one, you don't know shit. With that being said, I decided, you know what, let's see where Bill Belichick lands on my top five all-time list of greatest coaches of all time in the NFL. Just because, like I said, there's a lot of game changers. And, I mean, it was actually kind of hard to whittle it down because for me, with coaches, it's beyond championships. Now, obviously, championships do matter to me. That is a qualifier. You have to have a championship to be considered the greatest of all time, in my opinion. So, obviously, that gives Bill that right up there. He's elevated to top five level for sure because he has 6 freaking rings. And he's been a part of 2 separate dynasties, and it's just he's held it down for a long-ass time. So that plays a part into it. But other parts of this as well is like coaching trees, meaning guys who used to be coordinators, on the sideline with you, but then who also went on to have to go coach other teams as well. And that plays a part in it. And then also some of these guys, they created things in the sport that still happen to this day, meaning just like certain styles of defense or certain styles of offense, certain ways we play the game still to this day, they play a huge role in it. So this is my top five greatest NFL coaches of all time. So let's begin with number five. I have Bill Walsh at number five. He was the San Francisco 49ers head coach from 1979 to 1988. His record for that 10 years was 92 wins, 59 losses, and one tie. And then in the playoffs, he went 10-4. So that is that's an amazing record to have there for both the regular season and the playoffs. He won six division titles as the Niners coach. They went to three Super Bowls and won all three of them. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the class of 1993. He was also the NFL 100 all-time team in 2019. But really, the thing about Bill Walsh for me is he created the West Coast offense, which is one of the most revolutionary offenses at the time, and it's still used to this day. As a matter of fact, that's what the Dallas Cowboys run this season. They are running a West Coast offense. So it's still in the league today. And that says a lot because for one, that is the last time we really have added something new to the mix, like the West Coast offense, some type of different style of offense. And nobody had seen it at the time either. It was very revolutionary. And, I mean, of course it helps having Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and some of the great players that they had throughout the history of time. But, I mean, it was so revolutionary, and like I said, it's still here today. But also, the thing about Bill Walsh, his coaching tree is probably one of the deepest coaching trees you will ever find in the history of the NFL. So many great coaches spurred from him. I can't even begin to start because the coaching tree is so deep that to this day, there are still guys who... Because basically the coaching tree works like this, okay? You were a coach beneath Bill Walsh and you worked for the 49ers. Then you got a job and then you have coaches beneath you who ended up getting jobs and being successful throughout the league. So still to this day, there are guys connected to that Bill Walsh coaching tree that are still in the league and still doing well. So that really says a lot that his DNA is just all over the league still to this day. He dominated. His team was a dynasty. And not only was his team a dynasty, but he was great at drafting as well. You know, he had Joe Montana. He had Jerry Rice. He had some of the greatest players of all time, and he was one of the greatest coaches of all time. Then at number four on my top five greatest NFL coaches of all time, Don Shula. He coached the Baltimore Colts from 1963 to 1969, and then he coached the Miami Dolphins from 1970 to 1995. He had a 33-year career in which he had 328 wins, 156 losses, and six ties. His playoff record is 19-17, so when you play in that many playoff games, that's what you're going to end up with. He had 16 division titles. He appeared in six Super Bowls with both of the teams, by the way. He won two of the Super Bowls with both with the Dolphins. He's a Pro Football Hall of Fame member, class of 97, NFL 100 all-time team, and he's only ever had two losing seasons in his career. And he is the only coach ever to be a part of the only undefeated team ever. That was the 72 Dolphins. They went undefeated in the regular season. They went undefeated in the playoffs. And they ultimately went on to win the Super Bowl. Not only did they win the Super Bowl that year, but then their undefeated streak actually bled over into the following season. Not only would they have a good regular season, but guess what? They would go on to win the Super Bowl again. So he's won back-to-back Super Bowls. And, I mean, 16 division titles. And really, the thing about Don Shula, all he did was win. That's why he's here. That's why he's one of the greatest of all time. It took literally, this is the year that finally somebody, Bill Belichick, was able to break the winning record and surpass him. Or no, he hasn't surpassed him just yet. But regardless, Bill Belichick's right on his heels. But that's what Don Shula did. Don Shula was Bill Belichick before we had Bill Belichick. So, and he was just so successful. He was excellent at finding talent as well. He had some of the most successful quarterbacks. He not only did he coach Johnny Unitas, but he actually played with Johnny Unitas too. He had Dan Marino, Greasy, and then, of course, just that entire 72 Dolphins team was just really fantastic and phenomenal. And Don Shula, one of the greatest coaches of all time. Then at number three on my top five greatest NFL coaches of all time, Bill Belichick. Now I know you say, Katie, how is he not number one? Because everybody, for the most part, puts him at number one. I'm going to tell you why Bill Belichick is not number one for me. Because Bill Belichick actually has one of the worst coaching trees. Bill Belichick is great at winning. He is the ultimate when it comes to winning Super Bowls and growing his own team. But when it comes to putting his fingerprint and his DNA throughout the rest of the league, he never invented something like the West Coast offense or the 4-3 defense or really had that type of influence on the league. Like I said, his coaching tree is terrible too. The only coach right now from the Bill Belichick coaching tree that's even doing halfway decent is Mike Vrabel. And P.S., he's not from the coaching tree. He's just an ex-player of his. He played linebacker in the first half of the Patriots dynasty. But what Bill Belichick has done can't be disregarded. First of all, he did coach not only the New England Patriots from 2000 to now, but he also started with the Cleveland Browns 1991 to 1995. Not such a good run for him there. But in his entire career so far, his record is 300 wins, 161 losses. So that's great. His playoff record, 31-13. How great is that? He's had 17 division titles, 9 Super Bowl appearances, won 6 of those Super Bowls. He's also a part of the NFL 100 all-time team. And he's just the most winningest coach ever. I mean, he's been a part of 2 dynasties. And it's just undeniable what he's done. Yes, he is falling off of the face of the earth right now. But guess what? That's happened to a lot of great coaches throughout the history of the league. And so you can't really discredit what he's done just because of these last few seasons have just been terrible for him. But I don't have him at number one. And I know that's going to bug a lot of people because most people put him at number one, but it's because they're only looking at the Super Bowls. Nothing wrong with that. But for me, the top two guys, their DNA throughout the league, it's still here. I mean, hell, even the two guys previous, 4 and 5, Shula and Walsh. Like I said, Walsh still has coaches from his coaching tree in the league today. And Shula started this gangsta shit, so that's the motherfucking thanks he gets. Bill Belichick looked up to Shula, so you got to put Shula on the list. And, you know, like I said, Bill Belichick hasn't, like, revolutionized anything in the game. Really, the only thing he's revolutionized is giving you really vague answers in press conferences. So that's pretty much what he's revolutionized. But one of the greatest coaches of all time because he's a consistent winner. He has more Super Bowls than anybody. And that's really all he's done is keep winning, and keep winning, except for the last couple of seasons. Then at number 2 on my top 10 greatest NFL coaches of all time, Tom Landry. He coached the Dallas Cowboys from 1960 to 1978. In his 29-year career, he had 250 wins, 162 losses, and 6 ties. His playoff career is 20-16, 13 division titles, 5 Super Bowl appearances, won 2 of those Super Bowls, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 1990. He was also NFL 100 all-time. Basically, the thing about Tom Landry and why he is ranked so high on my list is not because he coached the Dallas Cowboys. I know that's what you're thinking. Katie, you only put him there because he coached the Cowboys. No, it's because his DNA still runs through the league. Did you know he invented the 4-3 defense? That's right. He invented the 4-3 defense. The reason why he invented the 4-3 defense is because he could never beat the Green Bay Packers and Vince Lombardi. And he needed, and the way Vince Lombardi ran his offense, it was through the running back. The running back, the running back, the running back. And Landry invented the 4-3 defense because he wanted, you needed more linebackers and more linemen to stop the running back. And so that's where the 4-3 defense came from. It became really prevalent throughout the league, and it's still here to this day. It's one of the most prominent defenses used to this day in the league. That's one of the reasons why he's ranked so high. Another reason why is the 4-3 defense became so good that he even needed to invent an offense to overcome the 4-3 defense because everybody in the league started using it. So that's an aspect of it. Also, Tom Landry was one of the greatest scouts of all time. He wouldn't just look for dudes who played college football. You know, God, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank on the receiver now. Not Drew Pearson. Fuck. There was somebody on the Cowboys back in the day team, was a track star. And that's where Landry found him. He was a track star. So that's kind of what Landry did, is he would find just great athletes who weren't just football players. He would look beyond football. And we got so many amazing football players historically who are current Hall of Famers because he was such an amazing scout, he himself. Then, of course, Tom Landry has 20 straight winning seasons, and that's probably going to stand forever. I mean, Bill Belichick couldn't even do that. So that says a lot. You know, also the thing about Tom Landry, too, his career started off shaky. As a matter of fact, the Cowboys pretty much sucked the first 5 seasons he was the coach. Then they started to get it going. Like I said, he couldn't overcome the Green Bay Packers and get past them. I mean, they had the famous Ice Bowl where they played in like, what, negative fucking 20 degrees, and the ground was freaking ice, and the Packers just won, you know, on this last second drive, and it was just one of the most hard-fought games. But the Cowboys could never beat the Packers, and that's why he, like I said, he created the 4-3 defense, but then he started finally getting them there. They finally got to the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl, then they won the Super Bowl. They couldn't overcome the Steelers. Then they finally did it. But then his career basically ended how Bill Belichick's career is ending. That's why I say, don't just look at what Bill Belichick's doing right now. Let's not discredit all the greatness that Bill Belichick has had, because even the great Tom Landry was fired by Jerry Jones when he took over the Cowboys. But Tom Landry is one of the most legendary figures that in the history of the NFL. His DNA is still felt throughout the league, and just one of the greatest scouts. And like I said, the 4-3 defense, we still use it to this day. Now, number one. To me, I feel like he's always got to be number one. And that's Vince Lombardi. We have this game because of Vince Lombardi. The trophy is named after him. I mean, he died while coaching still. So we don't even know what more he could have done after, you know. I mean, that's just how it is. But Vince Lombardi is just the greatest. Ah, shit. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. Doorbell rang, so I had to go get that. But anyways, back to the number one greatest coach and NFL coach of all time, Vince Lombardi. I mean, there's just nothing else to say about the guy. I mean, he is why we have what we have today in football. I mean, he's so revolutionary. His coaching tree was amazing, too. He coached some of the greatest Hall of Famers of all time, and he was just an all-around, actually, great human being when you actually read about him. So he coached the Green Bay Packers, of course, from 1959 to 1967. He also coached the Washington Redskins only in the 1969 season because, unfortunately, he would end up dying in 1970. But we'll get there once we get there. Let's talk about his accolades, though. In his 10-year career, which is, it's just crazy to think he only had a 10-year career, but he did. But the thing about Vince Lombardi, too, is that he came right into the Packers, because the Packers were a terrible organization, actually, before they hired Vince Lombardi. They were not good at all. And he came right in, and he said, you know what, you have to let me be the boss and in charge of everything. I need to make all the rules. I need to call all the shots. I need to make all the signings. And they immediately saw a turnaround in this team. And it's actually the same thing with the Washington Redskins as well, too. They were not doing well. He came right in and turned them right around. They were actually on the upside of things right before he died. So in his 10-year career, he went 96 with 96 wins, 34 losses, and 6 ties. His playoff career is 9-1. Yeah, he went 9-1 in the playoffs. Now, you also have to think about and keep in mind, back in the day, they didn't play as many games as they do now. okay? They didn't play 17 games. They would only play like 10 games in a season. And then their playoffs weren't as long as ours either. So you have to take that into account as well, because I know a lot of people want to, you know, add all the numbers up with everybody else and Bill Belichick, but Vince Lombardi was so legendary. You just, in my opinion, I don't think you could put anybody above him. But that 9-1 playoff record, that's something else right there. He also had 6 division titles and then 3 NFL championships. That's before it became the Super Bowl, as a matter of fact, because the Super Bowl did not become the Super Bowl until 66, I believe, was the first year that we had the Super Bowl. So he actually won championships, and they were a great team before it became the Super Bowl. And then, of course, they won the first 2 Super Bowls. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the class of 1971. As a matter of fact, they inducted him right after he died. He is also a member of the NFL 100 all-time team. And he never had a losing season in his entire career. So he had a total of 5 NFL championships, meaning the 3 NFL titles plus the Super Bowls. And that was all with the Packers. Like I said, with the Redskins, you don't know what would have happened because basically he was there the 1969 season. They had a solid season, looked like they were projecting to be something else. And then, of course, in 1970, I believe it was in April, he found out he had colon cancer, and then he died in September of 1970. So, I mean, it was quick. It was one of those quick type of things where he found out he had cancer and boom. I mean, he was only in his 50s. I think he was, 52, 54, something like that when he died. So, hey, gotta say, though, he died doing what he loved, though. I mean, he went right into it, and he was he died while coaching, basically, still. But one thing that not a lot of people, which I think is very weird that they don't talk about, especially in this day and age, is Vince Lombardi was way ahead of his time when it came to discrimination. He was one of the first guys. You got to understand, when he coached the Green Bay Packers, it was in the 60s, okay? So this is like civil rights era. And there was only one black player on his team when he took over. And then after he took over, there were tons of black players on this team. And he made it very clear to all his white players, we are not going to discriminate. If I hear you discriminate against one of your guys, you call him the N-word or whatever the hell, you're off the team. He became the first to desegregate his teams, meaning he didn't separate his players when they were on the road, white guys in one room, black guys in another room. No, he intermingled them. And then also, when they were on the road, he would not stay at hotels that discriminated against blacks and would not let them in. So that was one thing. But then another thing, which I'm just always so shocked that is never anything that anybody talks about, but many gay players, yes, gay players in the 60s played for him and were out and open, at least with the team, they were out and open. Obviously, they weren't like, hey guys, gay guys here. They weren't doing that shit. But there were multiple gay guys who played for him, especially when he was with the Redskins. As a matter of fact, one of them was a tight end, I believe. I can't remember his name, but he flourished under him because he didn't care that he was gay. One of the reasons, though, why Lombardi did not care that he was gay is because Vince Lombardi's brother was gay. And so he already, you know, is his brother, and his brother was in a relationship with a man, and he had no issues with it. So he made sure to protect. He like would go out of his way to tell everybody, if you got a problem with these guys being gay, get the fuck off the team, is essentially what he would say. So it's really weird to me that they don't actually put a lot of emphasis on that, especially the gay aspect of it, because, I mean, still to this day, we don't have any openly out gay guys in sports in general, but in the NFL, we really never have. And the gay guys that have been out, they were like just crappy-ass players. It's not like we have Aaron Rodgers out or any type of marquee name who's like a good-ass player out still to this day. And to hear that he not only would protect them, but he actually would tell any guy he knew in the league who he knew was gay, he would tell them, come try out for us. I don't care if you're gay. I want you to try out for us. And if you are good, we want you on the team. So it's kind of weird that they don't really talk about what a pioneer Vince Lombardi was. So I just think Vince Lombardi was, his name's on the trophy, for Christ's sake. And just, he started this shit. He started this gangsta shit, and that's the motherfucking thanks he gets. And, you know, his playoff record, and like I said, had he not died, we don't know what the fuck he would have done. The Redskins would probably have more Super Bowls than I would want. You know what I'm saying? So, he just was the greatest coach of all time. He invented so many different ways to win. That's all he did was win. And like I said, when he took over the Packers, it was his way or the highway, and it worked out. And same with the Redskins. He walked right in and did the same exact thing, but unfortunately, he only got the one season, so we don't know what would have been. But regardless, he's left his mark on this league. Like I said, he was inducted into the into the Hall of Fame in 1971. Of course, they did that because he died in 1970. Right after he died is when they immediately renamed the Lombardi Trophy, the Super Bowl trophy, to the Lombardi Trophy. I mean, come on. His DNA still to this day runs through it. I mean, hell, his grandson is a coach. He's an assistant coach in the league. So we still have a Lombardi in the league. So to me, Vince Lombardi's always going to be number one. I don't think there's ever going to be anybody I'm ever going to put above him because, you know, Bill Belichick's got 6 Super Bowls and I didn't even put him above him. And like I said, that's just because this dude has been here forever. We still talk about him. And he's left his mark, that's for damn sure. So Vince Lombardi, always going to be number one to me. And quite frankly, Tom Landry's always going to be number two to me. And the two of them had major, major respect for each other. They actually played football with each other. And, you know, Tom Landry could never get the better of Lombardi, but that's why he invented the 4-3 defense. And that's why Vince Lombardi is the number one coach, because you always, always had to try and out-coach him, and you just really couldn't do it. So, that is my top 5 this week, the top 5 greatest NFL coaches of all time.